A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The man, the myth, the legend, Craig Bullerjack joins us now. Buller, how are you?
Hey, Buller.
Scotty, Hans, how are you guys?
I'm doing better now, that's for sure.
It's good to hear from you. How are you been?
I'm good. It's nice to have a little respite. Big game tomorrow. Don't know if Luka will play after the ankle sprain, but anytime Dallas comes to town, you know there's some history with the Jazz, even with new faces, you know, for Utah. Hey, I got to ask you guys, though, are you three okay? I mean, after yesterday's show, I wasn't really sure how all that panned out last night, man. I thought maybe some fisticuffs.
Oh, I love that you listen, Buller.
I just was,
and
hey,
then
look,
I'm also
man,
a little nervous that you listen.
No. There's some listeners out there that contacted me and said, "Man, you'd have better ask what's going on." So, no, I'm kidding. But
well, I'm not sure.
We've been down this road. You know, you get a little upset sometimes, and that's okay.
I'm not sure which parts you're talking about because we had a couple of issues. Lloyd and I are having a weird social media issue with each other right now, but then Scotty said something about a disease that is terrible.
Is that
what you heard?
Yeah. That was kind of the bits and pieces of it. Then, of course, you know, you guys declared it the worst show of the year, but you know, I didn't think it was that bad.
It was the worst. It was the most dumped. There were five dump segments in that show.
Yeah, if you heard what Scotty said, you would have thought.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't.
It was that bad, Scotty.
No, it was not.
It was that bad.
Scotty, you've been known.
yes, he has, Buller.
He is the sailor of the show.
There's a history there.
There's some history. Just a bit. Just a little bit.
That's the beauty of live radio, though. You know.
I know, and also the curse of live radio too, where you think, "Oh, that'll be funny," and it just pops into your head, and then you're like,
"Yeah,
oh, I got not. 4 hours of meetings after this. That wasn't so good."
Oh, great.
Hey, so when you're seeing Damian Lillard go for 60, and obviously you're seeing a great game, but he's doing it against the team that you cover, what are those emotions like?
Well, you sit there and go, man, I did have flashbacks of Kobe's 60 that he put down against the Hayward era in his last game at then Staples Center, but this was totally different. That was the finale, and you kind of almost like the Jazz played Ole defense that night, and Kobe did whatever he wanted. I remember Jack Nicholson was sitting there looking at Harper and I, just, you know, laughing in his Jack kind of way, going, "Hey, boys, he's going for 40. No, how about 50? And it just kept going and going. But this game was so dominant, so confident. Steph Curry has range, but let me tell you, Damian Lillard does too with that three-point shot. He's confident. He's strong. It's an array of shots, and he has different ways of hurting you. I think Curry goes more in the teardrop style at times, and he's more elusive. Lillard is a strong player that once you get him going downhill, there's not much you can do beyond that. And he really is a great finisher at the rim. But when he started the second quarter and the Jazz had a 31-17 lead after one, he dropped four straight threes. I think there was a point in time he dropped 15 straight for the Blazers. And it was just an amazing performance that he had. But you could tell something clicked. And, you know, hands in professional sports, amateur sports, Scotty, you can see, especially in the NBA, when the eyes are just totally in that focus, kind of dark-eyed mode. That's kind of where Lillard went, and he was on his way to 60. It was interesting, and really, you know, in a way, you don't see those type of games played often. You saw Kyrie drop, 48, but a 60-point night set special, and that's the second time in my career I've seen an opponent drop 60.
It's spectacular, and he was only a couple of points away from his career record, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was 61.
62? 61.
61, 62. He had one final shot, and it was a three, and it went awry, which was a rare miss for him. But then, you know, with class, the Blazers just ran the clock out, and the game was done. So, but still, the Jazz, there were some, you know, interesting moments in that game. Played well. They still scored 120-plus points and shot 52%, hit 20 three-point shots. And, you know, they shared the ball well. But, you know, when you have one player dropping 60, you're not going to win many games, if any. And, you know, the Jazz, I think what I still appreciate about this team, just from my chair, is that, you know, they constantly continue to play on. And I think fans appreciate that, too. The Jazz have really not been in a game throughout the entire season. And during that five-game slide, we've talked about the fact they only were, you know, lost by a total of 15 points during that time. So one thing I think Jazz fans appreciate, and what I like as a broadcaster, you sit in the chair, you watch a game, and you know you're going to see at least a competitive effort. And that's, I think, it's what fans ask for.
Well, Buller, what are you going to do with yourself now? You're going to be in town all the way until February 10th, until you head out to, I believe it's Toronto, if I remember right.
Yeah.
But you've got five consecutive games here in Salt Lake City.
I don't even know what to do. You know, I have to introduce myself to my wife and friends. Hey, it's me. How you doing? But it's needed. I'll be honest, it's needed. You know, the Jazz, with the league record of back-to-backs, they were the first team to 50 games. You know, the beginning of the season was brutal. Was it 13 of 18 on the road? It's been a tough start. But again, to be just one game under 500 in a very crowded Western Conference, you guys have it, I'm sure, up in front of you. But from 4 down to 13, you know, you've got 4.5, 5 games, and the Jazz are 2 games out of the 4 spot. And they're 10th right now. So each game really is going to impact standings, and that's what, again, makes these games fun for fans. I don't see a lot of, like, let's just sit this one out type of attitude, because this season particularly has been so close from the start. There's two teams up there with Denver and Memphis, but the rest of it is just a jungled mess, and no telling you know, how it's going to end. But I think the Jazz have obviously the talent, unless changes are made prior to the trade deadline, that this team is going to be mixed in somehow in the playoff scheme. And you know what? Again, we talked to execs yesterday with the Jazz, and, you know, the evaluations continue, and that's what it should be. But they do – I don't think they're surprised of how competitive this team is with what Danny and Justin put together. And they put it together late, by the way, with that last trade with Olynyk and Bogey. So, again, we'll wait and see, but I like the fact that they're in the playoff hunt, and there's a lot of teams that surround them as well, and each game counts, and that's the beauty of it.
Well, it certainly does, and it's going to be a dogfight down the stretch. I'm always kind of curious, you know, you travel with the team, you around them a little bit. When it is a week or two before trade deadline, is there a different vibe around a team, especially when there's a lot of things in the, you know, a lot of rumors out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I talked to Thurl about this, and T, you know, lived it. And it's really interesting to hear his perspective. Was, he was sad when the Jazz traded him to Minnesota for Ty Corbin. But at the same time, his agent told him, look, you know, if when you're in the discussion, it means you're good. So I think psychologically you can work it either half, you know, that the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. And T at first thought, wow, you know, abandonment. But at the same time, no, I'm still in this league and another team appreciates my talent. And I think that's something that's important. And most of the Jazz that we know right now have been through it because look at it. Look how many players were moved with the Donovan and Gobert trades and Bogdanovich. So they all kind of know it. I think this team has grown together. I think they like the coaching staff. They like what the Jazz franchise is. And again, it kind of tells you when players come here, they realize that it's a good landing spot. And I think they feel like, you know, they become a, you know, they're all on the same page of proving that why they were traded, that they can play in this league. And, you know, I think you kind of can get over that over the shoulder look attitude. But as Will said, Will Hardy, the young coach who's trying to communicate this to these players, is that look, stay the focus, and you know continue the journey. And I know those are simple words, but I think they echo some pretty good directions on how to handle it. But in the short part of it, no, I think you probably lie awake a little bit, saying where am I going next, and try not to live with your bags packed 24/7. And that's something. These guys just want to try to find a home, and that's and in the long run, that's a good thing too.
Well, Buller, I just watched a video that has you narrating the last time the All-Star game made a stop here in the state of Utah, and I couldn't tell if it was the newscast or I couldn't tell what it was, but. Yeah. You were narrating. It was fantastic. And you started out with what a perfect ending to a perfect weekend. And it's just Karl Malone and John Stockton are jointly hoisting that that trophy. And it was really cool just to hear your voice and to think, oh, man, part of all of that. What can Jazz fans that weren't a part of that last time it was here, what can they expect from this All-Star weekend that's going to be coming up?
Well, what I remember, and that was at KSL in 93 when I was still there, and yeah, it was a perfect ending to a perfect weekend with John and Carl being named co-MVPs, and there was a huge buzz, you know, throughout the city because all eyes, like the Olympics, I think that 93 All-Star game opened so many doors, hands to where we are now as a state and in sport. You know, there's a new baseball stadium going to be built out in South, Jordan? Is that right? Daybreak, I guess?
Daybreak, yeah.
What does that mean? You know, does that mean big league ball one day? Maybe. Is there a hope for it? Maybe. But as the city's grown, so has the sports world grown with it. And, you know, going back to Larry Miller and the Miller family, just to build then Delta Center, which will become Delta Center again, as you guys know, in July. It kind of goes full circle, right, with the renaming of the building. But there were so many great moments there, and that's the foundation, I think, of what, you know, not only the Jazz, but the foundation of sports in the state of Utah. The Olympics in 02, looks like they'll be back here soon for the Winter Games and to have the All-Star game here again. All that means is that I think more people can appreciate the growth of this state, and that is sometimes fueled by professional sports. And everyone from every country most likely will have their eyes on Salt Lake City on that weekend. And it's just 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks away. Actually, probably the festivities begin 2 weeks, 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks from tonight. So it's an honor, I think, for the league to recognize the city and also the building itself, which still stands, as I call the house that Larry built. It's great to see it back for the second time. Mm.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The great Craig Bowler-Jack joining us. And, Bowler, you and I were texting a little bit last night, but a loss in the college basketball world is just kind of an unfortunate, you know, a guy that had been a part of so many NCAA tournaments, was the face of the NCAA tournament, the voice, along with Jim Nance, but Billy Packer passing away. And I know you had a chance to work with him a little bit, right?
I did. Billy was special. Billy was dedicated to the profession and to the game. I think he got a little salty at the end because of, you know, I think the television and the coaches and, you know, the Bobby Knights and the Roy Williams of the world that were, getting, you know, kind of, you know, limelight guys. And I did work about a half a dozen to 10 games with Billy. When Jim was busy with the NFL, I would take over and do the game with Billy in those January games prior to before the Super Bowl. And when Jim was involved with the Super Bowl. So I got to know him a little bit. He was he expected a lot. He was a perfectionist, but he was a great at his craft. And he was an entertainer. He understood his role. But at the end, I think, you know, the time came where he felt like he'd given all he had to a game that was changing at that time. And that's about the time Clark Kellogg, you know, I was working with Clark, but Clark became kind of a fixture as well at that time at CBS when we were calling games in the tournament. So I was just glad when I saw the news. You know, I was saddened. I hadn't seen Billy in years. Last time was in New York at one of our meetings, and I know that he had just kind of gone on to do his own thing. He liked to invest in different type of properties and businesses, and but God bless him. He was a great talent and really put, along with Dickie V, Dick Vitale, those two guys were synonymous at that time with college basketball. And in any arena we walked into, you could tell that the college fan base just kind of stood and you know, there he was. There's Billy Packer, in the same way with Dick Vitale when he walked into a stadium and arena as well. But yeah, it's a big loss. Big loss. I enjoyed working with him.
You missed doing the tournament games?
Oh, big time. Big time. If someone would call, they won't, but I wish they would. I'd go back in a heartbeat to take those 2-3 weeks in the month of March. Those were some of the most challenging, fun, exciting days of my career. And you never know what happens in college hoop. I mean, it's and Scotty, you're calling Utah State. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, every game, you can be a huge underdog or a big favorite, and all of a sudden what happens? You get the big upset, and those are the games you just kind of wait for. And in the tournament, it's one and out, and there's always that Cinderella. And you know what? Who gets a big smile on his face every time this time of year as we head into February and March is Big T, because he lived it at North Carolina State in 83, winning the title with Jimmy Valvano. So he actually lived the Cinderella story. He really did.
Hey, Buller, I wanted to ask you just more on a personal level. We've got the trade deadline coming up here February 9th, and you see some people come, you see some people go. How often does somebody leave that it kind of hits you different?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, journalistically, you know, that's kind of been lost in the last few years or questioned, and I've always held that in high regard. That's how I was educated, and that's how I was raised in the business. Was it be journalistically sound and you know, give both sides of the story and talk to players and let them always tell their side. And there's only a handful of guys. And again, journalistically, you never really try to or supposed to get too close to anybody, coaches or players, to try to, you know, to keep the story right down the middle. And I still try to respect that. But I'm still human, and I'm still, I think, personalities you're drawn to. You interview one player maybe sometimes more than others, and so you naturally build a trust, I think, is the best way to put it. And there are players like Memo, who was hurt during the playoffs and tore the Achilles and then was traded. It's like Joe Ingles, you know, same type of injury, this time a knee. And you get to know a guy, and you enjoy those pregame laughs and insight about family, and you realize they're real guys, you know, and they got some of the same emotions that all of us have. So there's a few guys that come and go, and you hate to see them, like AB, Alec Burks. I still chat with him a lot. And then when I see him, he just has that big smile on his face. But he was just a kid when I met him, and he kind of grew up in that Jazz organization and became a better interview as time went by. But there's a handful of guys, man, that you know you can't help but be drawn to. And it's just a natural part of, you know, the profession. And but yeah, I hate, you know, when those trades come, you go, oh man, or yeah, oh good, man, he's going to hang around another year, or at least through the end of the season. But it's ever changing, right? It happens in our business as well. People come and go, and that's the tough part about it too. But it's fun to get to know them, and you also still get to see them. And, you know, do a high five for a moment when they're out on the floor, when they move on to another city, you know, like a Donovan, you know, I've seen him twice this year, and, you know, a good young man as Rudy Gobert. And I'm sure we'll see those guys, you know, down the road as well.
How nervous do the Bengals make you coming up on Sunday?
I'm nervous. Yeah. Joe's good. Joe Burrow's is good. I don't know. You know, Mahomes declared himself totally ready for the AFC Championship game, but Hans, you tell me, you've been through it. You know, anybody knows a high ankle sprain, you're limited.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you are limited. That's a bad injury that maybe is brushed under the grass a little bit too often. But that's a tough one to come back and be the Mahomes that we all know he is, with that ability to escape outside the tackles and use that slingshot arm of his. So the O-line, I'm guessing a lot of pressure on them this week.
Ton of pressure, and you're right. Bullard, I know that you dealt with a lot of different leg issues. Did you ever deal with a high sprain?
You know what? I was lucky, man. I got too big of bones, but I only had one ankle sprain, and I got over it pretty quick, but not the high one. Mine was right in the middle with the knees, as you know. But, no, I was lucky. I saw a lot of guys who – always had ankle sprains. I mean, it was like, wow. You know, some were just, you know, they had to go in and have surgery because the ligaments never find their way back to keep the joint stable, or they use three rolls of tape to try to keep, you know, everything in place. But he's going to be heavily taped. Don't kid yourselves. Mahomes probably will come out there looking like he's all good, but as the game wears on, if he takes a hit, it's going to be, it'll be tough for him. But I will be honest, I was surprised he finished last week. Chad Henne did a great job on that 98-yard drive to really put them over the top. But Mahomes still a high-level competitor.
I'm skeptic, man. Put me down as a skeptic. Yeah. I dealt with one of those high sprains, and it was horrible pain. I thought that he wouldn't play. I thought if he did play, he'd play for a minute, but probably be out and be very limited. I'm actually going to hold to that, even though they're trying to paint this rosy picture. I'm not expecting a Patrick Mahomes that can do what Patrick Mahomes typically does. And maybe, and to your point, it does put the pressure on the offensive line. Maybe they answer the call, but that's a pretty good defensive front that's coming, that's bearing down on them. So,
yes.
I don't know. It's going to be a tough one. But then can Chad Henne do it? Because you just mentioned his drive. Can he do it? Because he's been thrown into playoff games before. He's been around since 2008. He knows the business.
Yeah, he sure does. Burrows does too. He's quickly come along as a really fine quarterback. Can the Chiefs break that Bengals jinx? I don't know. But I think Travis Kelce maybe plays the biggest role of the game offensively, because last week, what was it, 14 receptions, I believe. One away from a playoff record. But I think, you know, Travis Kelce is one of the most talented, you know, tight ends ever. And I think he plays even a bigger role to bail him out. I'm speaking of Mahomes on some of those short passes when pressure comes. So look for Kelce to be double teamed a lot too. And I wouldn't be surprised, Hans, you come in on the blitz, what, 90% of the time on Mahomes if you had to?
I would, absolutely.
They're gonna blitz him a lot.
I'd get as crazy as I possibly could. And Trey Hendrickson didn't have a world-beating game last weekend against the Bills, but we know that Trey is one of the best rushers in the business, and if he's healthy and he's moving off that edge, he's going to cause all kinds of problems. But yeah, I blitz. I bring an extra rusher, and I try to hit him as often and as hard as I possibly can.
Yep, yep. Scotty, if Mahomes was on that field, Mahomes would be in big trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
He'd be swinging his helmet.
but honestly, Bowler, let's be honest. You guys will win. There's nothing to worry about. It's in the bag. You guys are going to be just fine.
Don't buy it, Bowler. Don't fall into this, Bowler.
He's trying to set me up for next week. Yeah, that's what he's doing. Yeah. Then he'll say, gosh, I think you guys are too confident that Mahomes was okay. You know, I know.
I think you go ahead and book those tickets for that Super Bowl.
Yeah, Bowler, you got this.
I got this. We got this. Okay.
Don't listen to Lloyd either.
Hey, you know you've got nothing but fans in me and Lloyd coming up this weekend. We're all on board cheering for you.
Team Chiefs. Chiefs Kingdom. Let's go.
You know what? What you're doing is AFC West. That's all you're doing, cheering for the AFC West. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Bowler, you're the best.
If the Chiefs are out and the Broncos are in, you know what I'd be doing.
Oh, yeah, you'd be all about the Broncos, I'm sure.
Yep. All about the Broncos, you bet.
Well, Bowler, you're the best, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for hopping
all
on
right,
with
guys.
Us.
Absolutely. Dallas in town, Jazz tomorrow, be there. We'll talk next week. Thanks, guys.
You got it.
Thanks, Bowler.
Craig Bowler Jack, TV voice of the Utah Jazz and overall good dude. It's awesome.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.